I'm Caitlin, and I'm here as part of the youth media team, and I'm here at Martin Bailey. So Martin, why are you here today?
I think we've got Mags Ormond to thank for that one. I've met Mags a few times now, sort of through NACE sort of events, and Mags has sort of came from Ireland over to NACE events, so I've developed that, you know, personal friendship with Mags. So for the last couple of years, she's been sort of trying to persuade me to come over to Ireland for Cessy. So as a result, here I am.
So would you like to tell us a bit about your work with Animate Educate?
Yeah, well, my own background is as a primary school teacher in the northeast of England. But about 5 years ago, I started Animate Educate. At that point, very much with the idea of developing pupil workshops in animation, green screen, movie making, photography, those bits of ICT as it was then, that wasn't happening the norm in sort of UK schools. And over the last 5 years, things have very much grown, developed, diversified. So now you would probably call me a primary computing advisor, consultant. I work in schools all over the UK in addition to my own sort of time at my own school, which is Lanchester EP Primary School in the northeast of England.
So why do you think ICT is really important in our education system?
I think probably twofold. You know, we are preparing children for a future that we don't yet know what it's going to entail. You know, you have statistics getting bandied about, if, you know, 70-80% of the jobs that people of your age will do don't yet exist. But I think one thing that we do know is those jobs will involve use of technology. So I think, you know, first of all, sort of technological skills as a discrete subject are very important, sort of in terms of preparing people for the future. But then a lot of the skills that we sort of develop, you know, sort of in ICT, computing subjects are also very transferable. You know, that sort of perseverance and precision and sort of things that very much come out sort of through computational thinking type activities. So, you know, for me, they're invaluable skills both discreetly but from a cross-curricular point of view as well.
So there's a lack of female representation in ICT and STEM, so how would you encourage girls to get involved in subjects such as maths or science or stuff like that?
I think I would look to role models. I think, you know, there's historical role models that we can sort of use, you know, people like Grace Hopper and that sort of, that we can sort of enable children to sort of study and see that actually, you know, the very birth of sort of, you know, technology and programming and that, there's always been sort of female role models there, and then use sort of current role models, so maybe ones, you know, certainly from the UK that you may want to look. There's a, you know, fantastic teacher called Claire Lotriot, goes as old Lottie on Twitter, Dawn Hallibone, and to name just sort of a couple, and sort of very much sort of use those role models. And, you know, within primary education, I'm sure it's the same in Ireland, the majority of the teachers will be females. I think if we can, you know, develop through CPD sort of skills with the teachers so that they sort of don't sort of turn their noses up at, if you like, at tech, then hopefully the girls within education will be more inspired about their peers. But I think at the minute the problem sometimes lies with the teachers, that, you know, maybe been a little bit controversial, that sometimes female teachers don't always put over the right message to female students. If we can break down that barrier, then I think maybe the students will be better inspired as well.
So how would you propose breaking down that barrier?
I think CPD, isn't it? It's confidence, if anything. You know, I'm maybe been a little bit critical of the teachers, but I understand why they feel like that. You know, within primary education, you are not computing specialist, it's one of maybe 10, 11 different subjects that you've got to teach over the course of the week. So, you know, I completely understand why somebody doesn't have the confidence in computing. When I was teaching full-time, things like music and art was never my strength, and I would do anything to avoid teaching those subjects on a week-to-week basis. So I completely understand why somebody would be the same around sort of computing. It's not their strength. So if we can make sure that the people are trained up and that the terminology, the vocabulary, the benefits and everything else they can really see, then hopefully it will become just second nature in the way it is sort of teaching reading, writing, mathematics. But at the minute we haven't got that culture of teachers, of adults who feel that it's just second nature sort of using technology. I think the fear is there that the children know more than the adults, and sometimes that's fine, but empower that. But at the minute teachers like control, they like to be the ones who are directing the learning, and actually maybe we need to move away from the term teacher, and actually I prefer the term facilitator of learning, that actually, you know, it's not the student sitting there at the, you know, listening to the teacher for 15-20 minutes, but actually there was an adult there who was facilitating the learning process, as opposed to having to be the fountain of all knowledge about all subjects.
So how do you see technology advancing in our education?
It's hard to predict. It's and I think that's what makes it exciting, is that, you know, if I look back 5 years ago when I started Animate Educate, you know, we're using a tablet now to sort of record this. I predominantly use tablet technology sort of within education, and yet 5 years ago I bought a class set of laptops when I first started, because a tablet back then was a paracetamol and ibuprofen. So it's embracing things, and that is scary, because most things have changed quite slowly in terms of education historically. Quite clearly, computing and education technology hasn't. The rate of development is there. So, you know, we're getting things like, sort of, you know, VR is very much becoming sort of, you know, the sort of big buzzword sort of at the minute. We're seeing lots of there. Actually, for me, I'm more excited by AR, by augmented reality. I think that has actually more direct benefits in the classroom than what virtual reality does. So, you know, I would like to see augmented reality sort of develop more, and that, so like, literally bringing the curriculum to life and images and videos and stuff popping out of pages and out of walls, and, you know, linking the content and sort of sharing it around. So as far as we can predict in the future, the next 18 months, 2 to 3 years, then that type of technology would be one that I would like to see sort of develop and think can have sort of major benefits sort of in the classroom.
So have you been enjoying SESICON, and what has been your favourite part?
I've absolutely loved it. I had a fabulous night at the Teach Meet last night, sort of sharing, you know, ideas sort of with people and learning sort of from them in terms of the conference today. I always think, you know, the informal bits are often the more important bits. So chatting with people over coffees, I've certainly been, you know, very much inspired by yourselves, you know, the youth media team. There's a lot that I want to take back. We have what we call our digital leaders at our school, who are a group of children aged from 6 to 11, sort of there, and whilst it's not purely the media, the reporting side of things they do, I think it's certainly a skill I can take back. So, you know, I'm going to take a lot from yourselves, and then, you know, there's little bits of ideas and apps and things that I've picked up in other workshops as well. But for me, the people are the most important bit in the conversations that you have throughout the day.